Welcome in to My Guys in the Desert. Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circus Studio today. We have a football Friday, which means at the South Point we have Matt Eumanns, Aaron Rinning, and Scott Kellen. A great day to be a sports bettor because sports betting is now officially live in Michigan, online sports betting. FanDuel also went live in Virginia on Thursday, which means we're now up to 20 U.S. states with legal and operational sports betting. Now, obviously, at the South Point Casino, we have a bunch of more seasoned gamblers. So I'd love to hear your guys' opinions on watching gambling grow, how much it's grown, and how quickly. Let's start with Aaron Rinning.
It's certainly growing, excited. You wouldn't expect a lot of that 10, 20 years ago. But anything is good for the most part. But, you know, there's pros and cons about everything, so won't get into some of that. But every state is a good state added to sports betting.
Well, some states do it better than others.
Right.
Right now, some states aren't doing it very well. But, again, you have 20 of the 50 states where it's legal and operational, and that's a real positive. 40% at this stage. Almost three years into it is, I think, a pretty good rate, and you're headed towards 60% or more in the not-too-distant future.
I would say I was home back in Wisconsin over Christmas with one of my brothers and his family. Fairly religious family, love sports, don't really talk gambling.
Fairly religious.
But the 8 and 10-year-olds are now talking lines, right? So, I mean, that's because it's now on the TV and being talked about, it's acceptable now. So
I was doing that when I was 8 and 10, and that was in the late 1970s.
And Matt, you had our buddy Randy Rough Rider on the show. He's going to Iowa for the Super Bowl. Yeah. That certainly wouldn't have happened 5, 10, 15
that's
years
true.
Ago.
All right, let's fast forward to now. Mahomes update for all the Chiefs fans out there. Patrick Mahomes told reporters that he has been cleared from the NFL's concussion protocol, so he's good to go for Sunday. Obviously still dealing with that toe injury. What are you guys expecting to see out of him? Scott Kellen, why don't we start with you?
Who knows, first of all, but, you know, that play that he got hurt when he got strangled or concussion or whatever the heck happened to him, he was running on that play, right? So, did he have a toe injury? Yes, but if that toe injury was that bad, I don't think he would have been taken off and running on that play. I also think, you know, I've had toe injuries, probably not like, you know, Mahomes' toe injury, but in the heat of the game, you take off, and it doesn't really necessarily limit you on that play. Now, you may get up from that play and be a little sore, but I expect he's going to be, for the most part, okay.
You know, it's interesting. I would hope someone in that organization has the sense to say, hey, we don't want to run Patrick Mahomes any more option plays, our $50 million quarterback with a bad toe to begin with. Interesting, Danielle, because we haven't seen, once again, any money, any tangible money here come in on Kansas City, as this line is what I've seen pretty much remained here at 3. So still plenty of Buffalo Bills support. Interesting to see where this number goes moving into Sunday.
It sure seems like it's moving towards 3.5 at some spots. At least the South Point today moved to 3.5 and took a $100,000 bet on the Buffalo Bills. We'll get into more detail with that when Jimmy Vaccaro joins us later in the show, but it's back down to 3 here at the South Point, KC -3. The concussion was obviously a huge concern, Danielle, with Patrick Mahomes, but if we all assumed if he can clear, he was probably going to clear protocol by the end of the week and he was going to play. And then you talk about the foot injury. Is that a bigger deal? Is that going to limit him a little bit more on Sunday? And I agree with what Aaron said. No more called running plays for Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure what Andy Reid was thinking last week, but we're going to see less running from Mahomes, but still I think he's going to be close to 90%.
Now, we're seeing at a lot of books, as you mentioned, still seeing that -3, just with a little bit more juice. You mentioned that the South Point has already gone to 3.5. Are you expecting those lines to shift more before kickoff, before Sunday? Matt Eumanns?
Well, it looks like the Packers line is going to stick at 3.5. Across the board right now, it's Green Bay -3.5. I'm a little bit surprised by that. I think the KC line is going to, as VSiN Vinny would say, toggle back and forth between 3 and 3.5. I think it's going to close 3.5 at most spots. I don't know, Aaron, you read the market constantly. What do you think?
No, I think that's a good way to put it. I'm a little bit surprised. I mean, the first game, obviously both these teams have met against each other, but the first game, remember, Kansas City at Buffalo, that was about 5.5. Kansas City was a 5.5-point favorite. in that game. So it looks like there's resistance. Not going to see this really shoot up any higher than 3.5.
Well, when you all go 0-8-1 against the spread, that's what happens, right?
All of our Michigan people in to bet with us as well. Obviously, a lot more to talk about. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Football Friday. Danielle Avari here at the VSiN Circus Studio today. We have Scott Kellen, Aaron Reading, and of course Matt Eumanns at the South Point Sportsbook today. And a loaded show. We'll get to hear from Lou Finicaro, who's a VSiN contributor. Also Paul Bovey, he's a handicapper. And Jimmy Vaccaro will be in studio at the South Point. Matt?
All right, loaded guest list. We've only got two Football Fridays left. Next Friday is not going to be a Football Friday. Scott, we're not going to do a special Pro Bowl edition.
No?
No.
That's kind of my favorite show of the year, too.
So we got today, and then we got 2 weeks from today before the Super Bowl, and that's it. But three big games remaining in the NFL season. Scott Kellen, Aaron Renning here, as they are every week. Follow Scott at Sixth Sense NFL and Aaron Renning at ER Sports One. Scott, how have your best bets gone? How has your NFL season gone from a handicapping betting perspective?
You know, it's funny, Matt. On this show, we've been pretty good, although we went 0-2 with the best bets last week. In the paper, it was pretty good, maybe 55, 56%. And then with the service, right at about 50%. Last week was not a good week, so it's been a pretty choppy year with that part of it.
ER, how's your betting season been in the NFL specifically?
I feel like I probably hit my stride mid-season, kind of trading money, I would say, the last 4, 6, 8 weeks. You know, kind of focused a little bit more on NBA. That's where making my money at this point. So still playing some games. I have two decent bets, three in total here, the championship weekend.
I expected you would have some significant bets this week. Let's jump into it. Scott Kellen's always got plenty of trends on every matchup. Here are a handful from Steve Mackinnon, courtesy of Point Spread Weekly, the VSiN Digital Magazine this week. NFL Conference Championship trends. Home teams on a 12-2 straight up and 10-4 against the spread run. Home teams favored by fewer than 7 points. That applies to both games this weekend. Those teams are 13-4 straight up and 12-5 against the spread in the past 17 instances. Those games went 11-5-1 over the total. Home teams that were in the playoffs the previous year, that's the Packers, are on a 19-5 straight up and 15-9 ATS run, including 7-0 straight up and 6-1 ATS versus teams that were not in the playoffs, the Bucs, the previous year. Again, 7-0 straight up, 6-1 ATS against teams not in the playoffs the previous year. That applies to Bucks Packers. And then this one applies to Bills Chiefs. Matchups pitting a number one versus a number two seed have trended over the total 12-4-1 since 2002. That's from Steve Mackinnon at Point Spread Weekly. Scott Kellen, let's start to break down the top game on Sunday. And this is just going to draw a monster betting handle. And we're starting to see a lot of it pour in now. And the line has moved even here at the South Point. Packers minus 3.5. Total of 51.5 or 52. I did bet the Packers minus 3 early in the week. Explain to us which side you like or if you like something with the total.
Yeah, and let me, I'll just set the table with a couple other things as well, Matt, that mm-hmm. I follow in the conference championship games. This all goes all the way back to 1970 when laying less than 10 points, straight up winner in those games. 83-4-2 against the spread. Now, it may not be as relevant this week because the lines are pretty short. Interestingly enough, those four losses have come in the last 10 years. But basically, you pick the winner in this game, and you're going to cover the spread. The other one that I have followed over the last 50 years is the team coming in with the best defense in the regular season, simply defined as allowing the fewest points. If you play on those teams, you're 63-33-3 against the spread. Hasn't done quite as well the last 20 years, although it did sweep last year. 21 of those 50 years, it's won both times. 5 years, it's lost both times. In a few years in there, 20 years or so, it's kind of split where you just lost juice. So that defensive system that I look at, that doesn't make the bet for me, but I always do look at it. This year, that would apply to Tampa and Kansas City. But as I just said, I don't always follow it. I am leaning towards Green Bay in this game. Tampa's also in a really bad situation. situation this game, and the fact that this is going to be their third game in a row now in the playoffs, and that's a pretty bad situation. 34-14-2, it goes against those teams, including 12-4 in the conference championship. So that would favor Green Bay. I made the number 4.2 points or so in favor of Green Bay with a total of 55.5. I did play over 51 in this game. I know that total has creeped up to about 52 now. We mentioned this last week. Packers 24-7 against the spread as a home favorite of less than 7 since 2010 with Rodgers at the quarterback. And also, they had Devontae Adams and Allen Lazard in the first 2 weeks, and then they didn't have both of those until week 11 when they played Indy, and they've had them ever since that. In those games they've had them, they've scored 30 or more in all but one of the 10 games. They scored 24 against Carolina. So the offense has definitely picked up and played better. I was impressed with Green Bay last week, the way they could run the ball. And if they can run the ball like that, obviously that just opens up their play action a little bit. I like Tampa, you know, as a team. I think Tampa will be able to score in this defense a little bit. I'm still not sure how good the Packers' defense is, but it's a short number. And with the Packers running the ball with a three-headed monster at running back and then being able to throw off that, I just see them being able to outscore Tampa in this game. And I'll take the over and lean to Green Bay on the side.
All right, some injury news on the Buccaneers side. Get to that before Aaron Renning's analysis. So Vita Vea, defensive tackle, activated. He is going to be out there, and the Bucs are going to need him against that Packers running attack. Antonio Brown will not play on Sunday, so he has been ruled out. I don't think that's a big deal. He has been a big factor right in the offense recently, and the Bucs have depth at wide receiver. Yep. Aaron Renning, what's your take on this game?
You know, I just haven't been completely sold on this Packers team. They've been able to play somewhat downhill, but Aaron Rodgers has obviously been tremendous. I haven't bet against them that much, but I haven't bet on them either, and that's kind of the way I'm looking at this game. My number is closer to a pick, but as you'll probably mention, Scott mentioned, the intangibles once again seem to favor Green Bay in this game, whether you look back to the earlier matchup between these two teams. I guess you could say somewhat of a revenge spot here for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, certainly his worst game of the season. I think there was definitely some reasons why it was. And, you know, the Packers dominated that game early when they played earlier. And everything, you know, Rodgers threw that pick six, and it really turned the whole game around. So I think certainly Green Bay can make some amends with that. We saw that with Tampa Bay last week, where they got blown out by New Orleans earlier in the season, and they were able to turn that event around. You know, the weather, I think, certainly helps the home field for the Green Bay. Very obvious with that. And, you know, Scott mentioned the rest factor, Tampa Bay third straight road game. You know, both Green Bay and Kansas City with that extra bye. You mentioned, you know, how the home teams have done, or McAdam mentioned how the home teams have done. There's, you know, reasons for that in this matchup. What I did come in, I played this game over the total. Was waiting to see what the weather was going to do. Certainly looks better. It looks okay from where it was the first. Again, the first game that these two teams played, that total is 55. In that game. Last week, both these teams faced hobbled quarterbacks. Drew Brees sounds like he should have been in a body cast. Jared Goff, you know, Jared Goff had the bad thumb. You know, so, you know, Tampa Bay had to really, if you go back and you look at, you know, the two games here for Tampa Bay in the playoffs, they didn't have to probably worry about defending the whole field against Washington and against New Orleans. Certainly, right, they're going to have to do that here against Green Bay. Rodgers can stretch the field so well if the receivers can hang on to the ball, that is. So I think that, and really when you look at Tampa Bay as well, in the playoffs so far, they've had to face the number, again, depends on what rankings you're using, but they had to face the number two and number three defense, New Orleans defense and Washington's defense the last 2 weeks. Scott mentioned this. Certainly to me, Green Bay's defense is not of that caliber or of that ilk, more of the middle pack. And, you know, that's the defense is what certainly is still my question. But I think they do match up okay here. They'll, you know, have a ton of defensive backs, see how Tampa Bay with the run game. But and one thing that I think makes this really difficult to handicap is Tampa Bay is so aggressive on both sides of the ball, and their variance for this team is wide open, because when you play with that type of aggressive style, and we really saw that in the first game, Green Bay did really well to start, and then Tampa Bay just dominated that after. So it's a little bit of trickiness because if things go a little bit south here for Tampa Bay, they're going to be getting more aggressive, and it could be good for a comeback, could be good for a blowout, but I think to me the best bet here was over the total.
Did you play this over 51?
I played it over 50.
Yeah. Out on the market right now, 51.5 is looks like the best number you can find. But
yeah, certainly there's a million ways to bet that.
Right.
You know, first half over, team totals over. You know, that's the one benefit as bettors. If you can think of a way to bet these games, it's all there for you. I've heard a lot of people talk Green Bay in the first quarter, first half this week as well, Matt.
Yeah, are you giving any more points for home field with the crowds there now? I mean, I know they're not huge crowds, but I actually bumped mine up about a half point this week.
Yeah, maybe 0.2 points.
Yeah.
Not much.
0.2 points.
Yeah.
That's not much.
I mean, no. Home field hasn't been much this
year. Right. I know. Yeah, so the first time these teams faced off, the Packers were up 10-0 right off the bat.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers won the game 38-10. Rodgers sacked four times. He threw two picks for the season, including last week. He's got 50 TD passes and five interceptions. And two of them were in that game in Tampa Bay. I was on the Bucs in that first matchup because the Packers were red hot going into a bye, and I think that's a negative situational scheduling spot to when you're hot and you come out of the bye, you lose your edge, and they were going on the road to face a Buccaneers team that was off a bad loss in Chicago.
Yes. On a Thursday night, I believe. Right.
I was on that Tampa Bay for a big bet as well, man. And I do remember in the first quarter, I'm like, this bet's not going to win.
It didn't look good, but it turned quickly. So last week, the Bucs used turnover luck to their advantage, 4-0 turnover margin against the Saints. And the primary reason I wanted to faint the Saints last week, I thought Drew Brees looked terrible late in the season. He couldn't throw the ball 20 yards downfield, and when he did, it was just a lollipop sort of throw, no zip on his passes. And when we see the news after the game, he's got a torn rotator cuff, rib injuries. We knew he wasn't fully healed from the rib injuries, but he's got a torn rotator cuff, a lung issue, torn plantar fascia in his foot. Other than that, he felt great.
Straight to the nursing home after that game. You know what? What's funny about, and obviously it's after the fact, of course, but knowing that he turned the ball over as many times as he did, how would they have done if Jameis Winston would have just played that whole game?
That's why JVT and I were talking about this on his show. I said the Saints had a much better chance, and I felt this way going into it, much better chance to win if Jameis Winston quarterbacked that game because he could stretch the defense.
Yeah.
And Aaron brought up the point, and I agree. A lot of people have been talking about how impressive this Buccaneers defense has been recently. You've faced Washington, which basically had no quarterback.
And didn't look good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the Saints, who had what looked like a 60-year-old quarterback out there. So I'm not that impressed with
Bucs. Like I say, it's their aggressive style. They can look really good at times, and they can look really bad at times.
Well, and I said this last week, and half of it came true. Unfortunately, the most important part didn't. But when the Bucs have gotten less than three sacks in a game this year, they're giving up now, after only giving up 20 points last week, an average of 29 points. Brees just couldn't take advantage of it. Yeah. But and who knows? They could get to Rodgers. They got to him last time. So it's hard to say if they will or not get to him, but if they don't, they're probably going to give up points because I still don't think the Bucs' secondary is that good.
Right, I agree with that too. And so last week, the Packers facing the NFL's number one scoring defense, they outgained the Rams 484 to 244, rushed for 188 yards, put up 32 points, and Rodgers attempted 36 passes, zero sacks. How much of that had to do with the fact Aaron Donald was a shell of himself? It wasn't the same Aaron Donald because of the rib cage injury. But still, you have to be impressed with the numbers the Packers put up against what was the league's top scoring defense.
Well, and if they can run the ball, that will help protect him because you can get it more into play action. That'll help protect him as well. And you know, they've been running the ball well. And, Aaron Donald wasn't super healthy. But the Rams are still a pretty good rush defense. And if they they'll get another test this week because Tampa's very good. And you might get Vita Vea back, of course. Looks like he's going to be back, but if they can run the ball, that will help protect him, and that changes that offense, makes it that much better, I think.
It is. It's a very interesting matchup because obviously Donald was not healthy. He played half the snaps in that. You have to give quite, certainly a bonus for the Packers were rested in that game. Rams had beat Seattle the week before, so it was a very good situation for the Packers. And, Tampa Bay has had, one of the best, if not the best, run defense. So it's a very intriguing matchup.
I think one thing that surprised me in a negative way about about Green Bay in that game was Jared Goff with his bad thumb was able to complete 21 of 27 passes. That's a little concerning.
I was watching that game, Matt, and no cup, obviously, and he was throwing to guys that were pretty wide open at times, right? And then I look at the stats, and I don't have them in front of me. But, you know, they average like 5 yards a play, maybe 5 yards a pass. The stats were not very impressive at all. And so I saw one thing, and then the numbers, you know, they got some sacks, which probably took away from some of those numbers. But that's why I say, like, I don't know how much you can trust the Packers defense in this, because he was open, throwing to some pretty open guys at times.
And that plays into Aaron Renning's play over the total of 51 that he's got in this game. Tom Brady's past 12 away playoff games, including his last 10 with the Patriots, 6-6 straight up. I bet the Packers 7-1 odds to win the Super Bowl in November. I've got the Packers -3 in this game. If the Packers lose, I'm not going to be here for Monday's show.
And well played, Matt, because you know, Green Bay came down to 3. I was a little bit surprised to see that. I have not heard a lot of people making a case for Tampa Bay so far this week.
Joey Toons making a case for Tampa Bay on Twitter.
Sure, there's got to be somebody.
there's definitely, in a game like this, I'm sure you would agree, there's sharp money on both sides. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a square dog or a public favorite or anything like that, right?
I mean, like I said, we have four very good teams, probably the four best teams that are left here. I mean, it is, to me, probably from a power rating perspective. And Brady, you know, he's proven time and time again, tough to bet against, certainly plus the points as well.
All right, that's the Bucks-Packers game. Of course, we're going to break down the Bills-Chiefs later. We also have a lot of hoops to talk about today, college hoops, NBA, and more. And it's a Football Friday here on My Guys in the Desert with Scott Kellen, Aaron Renning, and we will come back with Jimmy Vaccaro here in about 15 minutes on My Guys in the Desert.
I'm Danielle Avari. If you're in Vegas this weekend, Tailgate Social at Palace Station is the perfect place to watch all the playoff action. With 30 TVs, you'll have a great seat for every game and get great deals, including 50-cent chicken wings, $3 domestic draft beer, and $3 house shots. Don't forget to tell them VSiN sent you for a free appetizer with the purchase of an entree. Make your reservations for Tailgate Social at Palace Station today at tailgatesociallv.com. Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen.
All right, the best game in college hoops tonight is in the Big Ten. It's going to tip off right after we go off the air today on My Guys in the Desert. It's it's Michigan at Purdue. Some of these pop-up ads on some of these odd screens now just drive you crazy. Anyway, the Wolverines are now 4-point favorites in West Lafayette. And we had news come out within the past hour. Purdue's Sasha Stefanovic, their best 3-point shooter, is going to miss the next 3 games after testing positive for COVID-19. He averages 11.1 points, shoots 46% from 3. And that's a major setback for the Boilermakers heading into that game tonight. And Purdue has won 4 in a row, and 3 of those on the road against Michigan State, Indiana, and Ohio State. So this is a red-hot home dog. I made this number Michigan -2 before that injury news, so I can't argue with Michigan -4. He's critically important to Purdue's offense. And if you were playing this game over the total, that's a setback, too, because the guy's shooting 46% from 3 for a team that's not great offensively is going to hurt Purdue in that game tonight. Michigan 12-1, ranks 7th in the country, and now a 4-point favorite, total of 139 in that game. That's the best game in the Big Ten. I'm not sure what the best game is in the NBA tonight. It might be Celtics Sixers, but let's start with Brooklyn and Cleveland. And Aaron Renning, I watched these teams the other night. You mentioned Big Randy McKay. He and I were at the Tailgate Social Sports Bar at Palace Station. This game was on one of the TVs and went to two overtimes. Mm-hmm. And the Nets fell to the Cavs. All of the Nets' big three played heavy minutes in that game. Steve Nash, this story was in the New York Post today. Steve Nash's rotation reluctance shows in the Nets' shallow roster. They got only 10 points from the bench, 10 points from reserves in that loss to Cleveland the other night. So the rematch 2 days later, Brooklyn is a 6.5-point road favorite, total of 223.
Yeah, I watched that game intently. I watched the whole game. I had a bet on the over, Matt. I had a bet on Cleveland plus 11 in that game. So certainly get a difference in the number. Kevin Durant is not going to play. And I was looking to, as you mentioned that, Matt, I was looking to bet this game maybe this morning. I go, you know what? Pretty good idea that the Nets are going to sit somebody out here because amazingly, that was Harden's career high and Kyrie's career high when you consider the playoff battles, et cetera, that these two guys have played. And Durant played 50 minutes as well. Keep in mind, Brooklyn, I believe, on a back-to-back. So they play tomorrow night. So I thought there was a chance. Certainly one guy was going to sit, perhaps all of them there. So I would assume the minutes are going to be monitored in this game and even tomorrow night. I would expect Kyrie to perhaps sit out in that contest. As far as tonight, I would expect the Nets to rebound, obviously, off that upset loss. But Cavaliers are, they are way better than the Nets right now defensively. I think, you know, the one guy that they let go in those trades, Allen, the center, Allen had outplayed Embiid earlier this year. He had outplayed Rudy Gobert earlier this year in their matchups. You saw him have a key game for the Cleveland Cavaliers in a rematch here. I probably lean to the Nets, lean still to the over in this contest, even without Durant. But this total, 227.5 this morning, now down to 223.5.
I was scratching my head when I saw the Nets parted ways with Jared Allen. Well, I thought that was a guy they were going to need.
If you get rid of a guy like Harden, if you bring in a guy like Harden, you have to give up something, and that's the guy that they got. The one I would be more surprised that Houston didn't take him, Matt, but they did sign Wood with that. Cleveland made out being able to get a player of his caliber under a good contract, very young player as well.
Speaking of Jared Allen, the Rockets were able to steal Chris Wood from the Pistons, essentially, right?
Right.
In the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge pickup for the Rockets. But, I thought Jared Allen was a valuable guy that nobody really talked about much. It was all about James Harden to the Nets.
Very good piece for Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll talk more about the Celtics Sixers game later. We're going to do more NBA at 3:10 p.m. Pacific today. Up next, Jimmy Vaccaro updates us on a big bet on the AFC Championship game that just showed up at the South Point Sportsbook.
And I'm Danielle Avari. You can become a VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for NFL Conference Championship Weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. So start your free trial right now at vsin.com/subscribe. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Youmans, Aaron Renning, and Scott Kellen.
And Jimmy Vaccaro from the South Point joins us now. Jimmy, thanks for stopping by. Before we jump into football, I want to ask you if you have any memories of who I still call baseball's home run king, Hank Aaron. Hammer and Hank died today at the age of 86.
Yeah, I never followed too many people closely, but Hank was one of the guys that I did follow. Naturally, I was just a teenager, and obviously when he was making his marks in baseball. And where we grew up, we're like about 25 minutes, 30 minutes from Forbes Field, the old where the Pirates played. And me and my friend Timmy McHugh, when Aaron was playing there, we would go 2 or 3 hours earlier to get to the park and watch Hank have batting practice. He was the only person I ever, like, the next day tried to track down the box scores, what he did, whatever. So, yes, he was a big part of my youth. It was just something about him was magnetic. He wasn't boisterous. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. He was just damn good.
How much back then do you have to pay for a bus ride to the park and for tickets to the game?
50 cents, I remember that. The bus ride from 67F from Trafford to leave you off right at Shenley Park, which is right next to Forbes Field. And, you know, and I think the ticket was $1.25, but we were maneuvering because when the Pirates, like, if they were down 10-0 in the fifth, everybody left, so we went down to the box seat behind the dugout. You know, so it worked out pretty good. You know, before I forget, I've been fortunate in this crazy racket that I'm in and have worked for a lot of people. But right now in the back, Mike Pritchard is in the office with Michael Gaughan, Ryan Grounding, and Chris Andrews, Chris the boss. And I've never seen a more relaxed attitude. You know, with the owner comes in to say hello and he wants to spread his goodwill around. So, you know, working for a guy like Michael Gaughan was pretty good for me.
I bet. Steve Wynn was probably a little bit more uptight.
A little bit. Steve Wynn was the only person in the room that he was looking for the cameras. Now, the other people I worked for, like Kirk Corey and Michael, they shied away from it. But Steve was like, where, what, who, where can I interview? It worked for him, too, for a long time.
It did. All right, let's get to the NFL Conference Championship games. And, Jimmy, we've got a big bet that showed up here at the South Point today on this Bills-Chiefs game. How high did you get on the two lines, first of all? Have you reached four on either Bucks, Packers, or Bills, Chiefs?
I want to say no. Now that I check explicitly, no. But you know, when I come in, every time I'm looking around, I look up there. I've only seen 3.5 being the highest. But well, there was a 4 on the Packer game, I think, you know, way back when. But here we are. We as bookmakers, we as people who invite people to come in, you couldn't match up two better teams as far as marquee value to drive that handle up on Sunday. It's going to be a mini, mini Super Bowl. So I welcome it. It's going to be a lot of fun. We just don't need no 2017 finals in both games. I can tell you that.
Jimmy, it seems a little bit different maybe than a lot of weeks or certainly different years as well, but it seems like there's going to be an undercurrent of underdog money, if you will, in these two games.
Yeah, there is, because, you know, let's call it like it is from someone we all understand the crazy racket that we're in. If you take away the home field, you're just talking about four games. It's just pick them. I mean, what else could you make it? Mm-hmm. So my thing has been this way. If you win on Sunday, that means you pick the right side. That didn't mean you had to, you know, scour for 2 hours deciding what you want to do. You see what it is. The lines aren't going to go crazy. I mean, like I said, you know, neutral fields, it's pick them. Now, you know, if they find out an hour before game time that actually Mahomes is really not feeling well, or his foot, the toe is hurting, then you'll see the game go back to 2.5. But other than that, I think it'll be a monster handle. Staying off the 3, we're going to win no matter which side ends up winning. I truly believe that.
Hey, Jimmy, you won't hear anything about Mahomes unless they lose. Then you'll hear it all on Monday,
right,
like Drew Brees last
week. You are right.
All right, so Patrick Mahomes has cleared concussion protocol. Mm-hmm. He said that today. He's going to play on Sunday. He's good to go, but what about the toe? That's the next question with Mahomes. How about the bet that came out to South Point today? We have the photo of it here. Let's throw it up. The graphic, Bills plus 3.5. This came in at about 1:15 this afternoon, right? Bills plus 3.5 for 110,000.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys, as you know, as I go back and look for this crazy last 30 or 40 years of my life, that about 30 years ago, you would start to see people who I called, for some strange reason, event bettors. They would only show up 3 or 4 times a year, but they came prepared. You know, the Carl Icahns of the world, you know, they would show up every couple times per year. And this gentleman, who's a true gentleman, I think this is only the 3rd trip this year, but when he comes, you know, obviously, and he understands the racket. He wires the money into the cage. There's never any money transferred, and we go to the window and take care of everything there. He's an event bettor, and he knows what he's doing. You know, he didn't lay 3.5 or lay the favorite. He took the best number at that time that was available for that side. So I give him credit, but there are more and more and more of these type of people betting this kind of money on events.
All right, so after you took the 110,000 at plus 3.5, you're back to KC minus 3. Do you think you're going to bounce back and forth on that number this weekend?
Yeah, remember, you know, we are not all of them, but we don't go to juice on the number. We just move the number. So it's 3 to 3.5 instead of 3 minus 20 or 3 minus 20 the other side. It's been something that's been handed down through me and now handed down to Chris from Michael that he wants it less confusing for anybody. Now he knows there's jeopardy because you know we get off the number 3. So they know. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we have news for you. Since you've been in here, okay. The Packers have moved to minus 4 at the South Point.
Are you serious?
Yep. Just in the past few minutes. So now it's Green Bay minus 4 over Tampa Bay, total of 52. Is this going to be a strong two-way action game, or are you going to see more? You're going to need the Bucs.
I don't think we'll need anybody unless we stay off that number. I mean, again, you. Just running around talking to people. You run into one person in Tampa Bay, run into another person in the Packers. Jimmy, you know KC's good, but you know what? The kid might be hurt, so I might go for Buffalo. Again, stay off these numbers. We'll juice out a lot of money on Sunday night. I can tell you that.
How big is the handle going to be this weekend with these four popular public teams? I got to think it's going to be a monster weekend.
Yeah, I think we'll do more this week with two games as we did last week with the six games, 3-3. Wow. That's how strong I think it'll be. But we'll see.
All right, go back and hang out with Michael Gaughan,
okay.
Mike Pritchard, Ryan Grounding, and Chris Andrews.
Michael pays the bills.
That's all right.
Thanks,
all right,
Jimmy.
That's Jimmy Vaccaro here at the South Point. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have Lou Finocchiaro. He's going to join us to break down the UFC card. Conor McGregor's comeback is Saturday night, and Lou's got best bets on that card. Plus, we'll talk about the NFL games with Lou next on My Guys in the Desert. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. It's Pegasus World Cup Week, and First Bet is giving new and existing customers a $20 risk-free bet to celebrate the first major horse racing event of the year. It's easy. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up, place a win bet, and if your horse doesn't win, you get your money back up to $20. If you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. Visit VSiN.com/horses to sign up for this special Pegasus World Cup offer today. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns, Aaron Rinning, and Scott Kellen.
All right, let's get to VSiN's Lou Finocchiaro next, live from Phoenix in his home office on Skype. And I'm going to bet he has his glasses propped up on top of his head this week as he breaks down the NFL and the UFC. Do we have Lou yet, or are we still working on that?
I'm here.
Okay. There he is. There's Lou at Gam Lou on Twitter. Lou, before we jump into the UFC card and Conor McGregor's comeback event this week, how about the NFL? What did you play? What do you like in the two conference championship games?
You know, being as around the NFL for as many championship seasons as I have, I was actually, you know, it's unusual to see home teams in this round favored at 3 or less, which is what they were on Tuesday. This is really the end of my season, the last real Sunday that I work, but I was more than tickled to take Green Bay at 3 and Kansas City at 2.5. I just think that I'm getting weather, home field, quarterback advantage, and the benefit of only having to lay 3 in the case of Green Bay. I was more than happy with those two positions.
All right. Did you bet Randy McKay's hockey today? I know you've been playing a lot of hockey and you handicap it yourself. Big Randy and I were hanging out at Tailgate Social, the sports bar, at Palace Station the other night watching hockey, and he fires on this every day. He sent out his best bets today. Randy is on Buffalo minus 120, Toronto minus 125, and Nashville at a pick'em. Anything you like in hockey tonight, Lou?
No, you know, too busy with my focal point, which is the UFC tomorrow and the NFL. Hockey regular season is such a different game than what the postseason is that I really don't get too much involved unless Randy throws a few chips our way.
All right, and he did today. So
yes,
Randy always firing on the ice. Let's get to UFC and Abu Dhabi, Conor McGregor's comeback card. And Lou, the card is a little bit shorter than it was a couple days ago, right?
It is. We had some unusual. One young man, a fighter I was going to take, got sick, didn't even make it to the weigh-in. And in another case, one fighter had gave his wristbands and his teammates' wristbands to a band of people that ended up sneaking a bag of vitamins into his room. Nobody believes they were vitamins. Anyway, that kid's kicked out of the UFC and long gone now. And they took they happen to be all lightweights, 155. So they took the kid, the odd man from each fight and put them together, and now they're going to fight. So the UFC's great in making things happen, but there's still some meat on the bone in the card.
All right, let's start with Conor McGregor. I want to talk about this fight first. He at Circus Sports right now, minus 295, so he's around that 1-3 range. And the round prop, 2.5, under, minus 185. Lou, I listened to Jordan Sherwood this morning on VSiN break this down. He was pretty convincing that he doesn't see McGregor losing this fight. He thinks it's going to be similar to the first fight between these guys 6 years ago. McGregor won that one early by knockout. How do you see this one unfolding?
Well, Jordan's a great young UFC handicapper, and I'll say that I agree with him for the most part. I think that as I handicap this group of lightweights, there's Conor, then there's an ocean, and then there's 9 or 10 guys competing to try and get their chance to fight Conor. His movement, athleticism, the way he strikes, and more importantly, the focus that he's bringing to this fight. With all the talent that he has, if he's out doing what he's been doing in some of his past antics, maybe he isn't as focused. But he looked good against Cowboy a year ago, and I expect him to finish Dustin Poirier in this fight.
How early? And would you look at round props? Would you look at Conor inside the distance or... Well, what's the best way to bet it? Let's put it that way. Lou, where do you think do you find the most value if you believe McGregor's going to finish this in the first few rounds?
My bet's KO, TKO, or DQ, minus 180, 190. And, you know, I fight to bet. I don't want to bet negative numbers. And I've been massaging this fight for a week. I really want Poirier to win, but this isn't the time to fade Conor McGregor. And I'm taking 180 on the KO, TKO, DQ. I firmly believe Conor McGregor finishes the fight. When it happens, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So that's the way I was looking to bet that, too. So it's always good to hear you say that. Let's move on in the card. I'm going to let you rip off your best bets because we got about 5 minutes here. So tell us what else you like on the card.
Yeah, co-main event, Dan Hooker against Michael Chandler. Chandler ships in from Bellator. This is going to be a really, really fire fight. Very close. Short, stubby, wrestling-based explosion fighter in Chandler against a long, lanky striker. Lethal knees in Hooker. Hooker trains with Adesanya, who's a long, lanky striker, as well Volkanovski, who's a little wrestler, and in fact is who Hooker is fighting. Both of those are UFC world champions. I think Hooker's been in with better, and he has an advantage in this fight. We took him earlier today at minus 120. There's been a little bounce in his price. He's a little bit higher now. Then we go down. You have a fight on the lower cards. Tavares is going to fight Carlos Jr. Carlos Jr.'s nickname is Shoeface. He's a plus 105. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu specialist, and he's the taller, longer, bigger, man in this fight. Tavares wants to bang, but he doesn't have the reach. And when he does get into bang, I think Carlos Jr. is going to smother him, grab hold of him, take him down, and dominate this fight. So I definitely like Carlos Jr. And then lastly, Amanda Ribas is a future superstar in the UFC. She's fighting a lady in Marina Rodriguez that really did everything she could do to stand on the scale today. She had a bad cut. Ribas was already a minus 300 in the fight. These young ladies at 115 pounds in a huge octagon usually always go the distance, but I'm going to take this fight to not go the distance based on how good Ribas is and how ill-equipped Rodriguez looked on the scale today. So those would be my four for you.
All right, Lou Finocchiaro's four best bets for the UFC card in Abu Dhabi. Lou, what I think this card starts at 4 p.m. Pacific, and the McGregor fight is around 7 p.m. our time. Is that right?
That's correct. We're back to prime time after a crazy week of fights starting all over the place.
All right. You had a couple dogs early in the week. When you do hit a dog, you like to throw up a picture of a dog on Twitter. And what's your favorite dog on this card? Because this does not look like your typical Lou Finocchiaro card where you play a couple big dogs. If you did play a big dog that's not one of your four there, which dog do you think is most likely to cash?
Yeah, I like Andrew Sanchez against Muradov. And I'll tell you, Sanchez opens minus 175. Now he's plus 115. He was the last one that I left off of there, and he's probably going to get a small bit of attention from me anyway.
Okay. Hey, back to the McGregor fight quickly. Yes. So the long layoff for Conor, I know it's been about a year. How was it 10 months, 11 months since he knocked out Cowboy? How long ago was that?
January 2020.
Okay, so we're talking exactly a year. Cowboy had nothing in that fight, Lou. Right. In fact, Conor ended that probably in about 20 seconds. It was embarrassing and disappointing for those of us who like to watch Cowboy fight over the years. Do you think the 1 year of inactivity, in essence, is going to be a big negative here? Do you think Conor's going to be ready to roll?
I think it's the one thing keeping this price so close, and I don't think it's a factor at all because he's fighting every day in a gym, and I see it as absolutely no factor.
All right, when you're talking about the method of victory, and you said you're going to lay 190 on Conor by KO, TKO, or DQ, actually I see right now at Circus Sports that is minus 185. Would you rather lay that or Conor inside the distance at minus $2? Is there a chance he could finish that fight by submission?
Not enough for 15 cents to make me worth taking the higher price.
I didn't think you were going to. That's what I thought you were going to say. But I think this is going to be. Do you ever play the pick the round props, Conor, to win by KO in the second round? I don't think this fight's going to go that far. I was thinking about playing Conor by KO in the second round or third round. Do you ever bet those?
No, but I looked as I was scouring for prices on this fight. Will Hill has round one or two, Conor by KO plus 175, ooh, plus, and then round two or three plus 600. And that's the one that I was interested in. The reason I didn't suggest it is because I don't know if Poirier can get there.
I hear you. Actually, that's interesting. I haven't seen that on the prop offerings I was looking at for this fight as well. Okay. Lou Finocchiaro, good luck on UFC 257 this weekend. Thanks, man. It's great to see you in Vegas last weekend.
Thanks, guys, and great job as always, the three of you.
Follow him on Twitter at GAMLOU, GAMBLOU. Aaron Renning, you're going to watch the fights Saturday night, or you're going to bet the fights?
I haven't thought about it a ton so far, Matt, perhaps, but it's not a big thing in my, over the summer, watched a lot right. in a lot.
I know you fired a lot of the fights over the summer.
Not a huge McGregor fan, so 50-50 at this point.
Scott Kellen's a big Conor McGregor fan.
Yeah, I was just watching a Netflix thing on him the other night.
We have a lot. Did you watch the Tiger Woods documentary?
No.
On HBO, it was pretty good. Let's get to hour number two. We've got Paul Bovey joining us with some prop plays and opinions on the NFL. And we're going to break down, obviously, the Bills-Chiefs game in depth, plus more college basketball and NBA in hour number two, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.